Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We'll begin our show with the latest efforts to fix the MBTA. The T's Fiscal and Management Control Board met to talk about this today, and the board got some mixed news about T finances. One report says the MBTA will come in about $75 million under budget by the end of the current fiscal year, and T officials say they'll use the savings to reduce the projected deficit. Also, there are other numbers showing that so far this year, overtime pay at the MBTA is down 25% on average per day compared with last year. Now, that's the positive side. On the not-so-positive side, the MBTA's pension fund long-term liabilities will increase substantially. These numbers are coming out as the board prepares to vote on proposed fare increases in about 2 weeks from now. Joining us to talk about this is Rafael Maris. He's senior attorney at the Conservation Law Foundation. Welcome, Rafael.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us in studio, Charles Chippio. He's a research fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School, and he's head of Chippio Strategies, which is a public policy writing and advocacy firm. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And listeners, we're going to ask you, what do you think the T needs to focus on? Are you concerned about proposed fare hikes? Do you use late-night service? You can call us and join our conversation today by going to 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. Rafael, I'd like to start with you because you were at the MBTA's Fiscal and Management Control Board meeting today. Tell us about some of these numbers and what were most surprising to you?
I don't think they were actually that surprising to me, to tell you the truth. I think that when you follow this closely, you learn quickly that some of these comparisons that are made and some of these numbers that are presented are much more straightforward than you think. So when you look at the deficit for FY16 that you just mentioned, it's the structural deficit. It doesn't include the money, the state assistance that the legislature and the governor approved for it. So that's another $187 million. So what you really have to conclude from that is that for the next fiscal year, a fare increase is really not a measure of last resort. It's really not necessary. Immediately, at least.
So no fare, you think that there will be no fare increase necessary?
No, there isn't. I mean, the structural deficit for FY17 for the next fiscal year is $242 million. If you subtract from that the $187 million that the governor already put in his proposed budget, that leaves $55 million. And if you look at the three most basic cost reduction measures that the Fiscal and Management Control Board has developed with the help of the T staff, the low estimate for that is $55 million. So that budget is balanced.
What do you say, Charlie Chippio?
Yeah, I mean, my take on this has always been that, the T is ultimately going to need more money to fix it, but that right now people are very understandably not willing to put money into the T for reasons like the absenteeism and the overtime and those kind of things. But I think, I think the same goes for the fare increases. We really need to provide better service before we increase the fares dramatically. I could live with the lower of the two fare increase proposals, but certainly we shouldn't be jacking up fares by almost 10% at this point.
And so what about, though, the deficit that we've heard about? What about all of the service problems? We had another one last week, although that was Amtrak, but it shut down South Station, and again, it brought really the T operations right to the forefront once again with folks saying, what's going on with this outdated system, and how can we be a world-class city with a transportation system that doesn't function effectively?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to go away. The reality here is that, the example I always use is that I'm a writer, and I have about the business acumen of most writers, which is to say none. And, 10 years ago, I was writing about it was clear to anybody that this was coming. And unfortunately, we waited this long to try to address it. And the reality now is that we are talking about a very long-term process to fix this.
I agree with Charlie. The challenge we have here is that the T doesn't even have the capacity to put out more capital projects next year that it already has money for. So additional money from a fare increase over 5% would really just result in, it would not result in additional state of good repair issues being addressed next year. So it's really coming at a bad time, and it's really punishing the very people, the victims who, you know, the writers who were standing on platforms last winter and are doing it for different reasons again this year.
Hmm. What about the report that the MBTA board got today regarding pension costs and long-term liability, an increase of some $53 million? Is that something that needs to be taken into account right away? And how do you balance that with some of the service issues? Raphael, I want to ask you that first.
Well, I would look at the pension issue as sort of a sunk cost issue. It's a challenge. It is sort of separate from the T, but it impacts the T's operating budget. And so it's really important that everybody get a handle on that problem and figure out exactly how to address it best and what the amount is that will be on the operating budget going forward. It cannot serve as an excuse, however, not to invest in the T. Public transportation is too important to our region, and it cannot be used as an excuse to increase fares at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I'll tell you, the T pension fund is just an outrage, and it has to be addressed. It absolutely has to be addressed. This is a system that manages to call itself a private trust. Its workings are not public. It is, if you listen to Harry Markopoulos, who is the who was the whistleblower in the Bernie Madoff case, it may indeed have less than half the money that it needs in reality to meet its obligations. Mm. But we can't really find out because the information about it is not public. The more we learn about it, the worse it gets. And the reality is that just from a fairness point of view, if you're an MBTA employee, you pay in a lot less than state employees do, and you get back a lot more. And over time, the numbers just don't add up.
Well, I want to remind listeners that we'd like to hear from you about your experiences with the T and what you think the T needs to focus on. You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Steve is calling from Cambridge. Steve, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a pretty satisfied rider of the T. I have been for about 40 years. But there are two ways I think the T could save money. One, for example, is I think late-night service is really a waste of money. I think those buses will be running at most 20% capacity. Doesn't make sense. And another thing is when the T builds stations, I think they have a tendency to be grandiose. I don't think they need to spend the kind of money that they're obviously spending on Government Center or that they spent on Charles Street. Those T stations are, they spend too much money. It'll be too hard to maintain them. More modest stations would be called for, in my opinion.
All right, Steve, thanks very much for the call. Charlie, I'm going to ask you that first. I mean, is the T overspending on some of the new projects like the Government Center station, and is late night service a waste?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I think that we owe it to taxpayers because, again, the vast majority of the T, of what the T does is financed by taxpayers. I think we owe it to them not to not to build anything bigger than we need or more grandiose than we need. And I think Steve brings up an excellent point, which always gets lost in these, which is what it's going to cost to maintain these things. But I think the bigger point is that, we are at a place now where we have to choose between bad options and worse options. And the reality is that in that reality, a service that operates an hour and a half a night for two nights a week and costs almost $14 a ride just doesn't cut the mustard. We just can't do that right now.
Raphael, I want to ask you, where should the revenue come from to improve the MBTA, to make it better?
Well, one place are cost reductions, and the Fiscal Management Control Board has worked very hard on this, and they have begun to make a dent at this, but they can obviously continue, and they're continuing to learn a lot about the MBTA's operations, so that's one place. And the other place is to consider the fact that the public transportation is a public good, and we all benefit from it, not just the riders. And in that context, it's important to spread the cost of that widely enough, and don't put it on the riders because it'll discourage them from actually using the service that benefits everyone. So economically speaking, it's really important that we have the system. Environmentally speaking, it's really important. And it's also important from a social justice perspective. There are many transit-dependent riders. So I think the one right place to look is for broader revenue sources, and the legislature actually provided them in 2013, and the governor has only accepted a portion of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a difficult thing to sell, certainly, when you have folks who are stuck for a long time and when trains aren't running and when you have signal problems and when, as Steve, our last caller, just pointed out, you may have new stations that he feels are too expensive.
And, you know, I think that's the issue. I think that we exist here in a political environment, and the reality is that the T will need more money, but the T is going to have to reform itself. It's going to have to stop, you know, the situation where, you know, the sick days are out of control and, you know, we pay twice as much for bus maintenance as anybody else. Those kind of things are going to have to be addressed. I think once those things can be addressed, I think the public will be much more open to more money for the T. I mean, my own personal thing has always been that the money should come from tolling. You know, that's really the best, in my view, source of
from
revenue.
From the Mass Pike tolls.
No, I think my view is that anytime you get on a limited access highway in a metropolitan area, you should pay a small amount. And, you know, that's really the way that you can actually have a truly funded, I think, transportation system.
Mm-hmm. And to support Charlie's point here, the tolls for our major bridges and tunnels are the lowest in Boston compared to all the other metropolitan areas in the U.S. So it's one to definitely look at. And it seems unfair to raise fares, but to keep the tolls at the bottom. I do want to say one thing, though, that we learned without much fanfare today at the Fiscal Management Control Board meeting, mm-hmm. that the bus maintenance comparison that has been done in the past has not been apples to apples to other transit agencies. The Chicago Transit Authority and SEPTA in Philadelphia, for example, do some of the bus maintenance as part of their capital budget. So they create a capital program that's preventative, and it doesn't show up on the operating budget. So the comparisons that the MBTA has looked at in the past turn out to not be apples to apples because much of the cost for the other transit agencies is in the capital, not in the operating budget. And since the T carries it there, it looks like the costs are much higher when they really aren't.
Oh, that's really – I didn't know that. That's very important.
Hmm. You know, I also want to mention an article in Commonwealth Magazine that was written by Jim Aloisi. He's a former state transportation official, and he said really what the T needs is a path forward informed by facts and illuminated by innovation. And he says the T hiring an MIT-trained technologist, David Block Schachter, is a good move for the T and might help do this. Is this a real way forward for the T, in your opinion, Charlie Chippio?
Well, I think it's one of the ways forward. I mean, look, I think that there's a lot of things that have to be done here. I think that is certainly one of them. I think that clearly we have to look at our operating expenses, which are certainly unusually high. We have to take advantage of this exemption from the Pacheco Law and inject some competition in some areas that where the savings would be great. You know, there's a whole, you know, it's, we're talking about culture change. There's a whole lot of things that have to happen there. That's certainly one of them.
I want to go to some of our callers. Brad is calling from Alston. Brad, you're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm a frequent Green Line rider, so I experience the T on a day-to-day basis, and to me, it's clear that, especially with some of the subway and bus lines there, to me, they seem almost neglected, and they're overcrowded, the service is infrequent, and the trains themselves are just not meant to hold this kind of capacity. And my comment is sort of from a environmental perspective, is that what I notice amongst my friends and my family is that people will basically avoid public transport in favor of driving because, A, it's public transport in Boston is way slower. In some cases, it's even more expensive if you're getting into using the commuter rail plus the bus plus subway, things like that. So what I found is that it actually deters people from, you know, considering environmental, you know, impact and things like that because everyone's in favor of a car. So I just feel like it's a important thing. Like someone mentioned one of your guests earlier about the fact that, you know, it's a public good. And if we can entice people that the MBTA is reliable and fast and reasonably priced, we can help, you know, deter some environmental impact that is obviously caused by tons of people driving.
All right. Brad, thanks very much for the call. Raphael, I want to go to you with that. And also, if you're familiar with the Metropolitan Area Planning Council report that was given to the T Control Board, talking about the cost of driving right now being at a 20-year low at a time when the T is talking about raising fares, and what this and how that 20-year low in driving fees actually is affecting this decision or this debate. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think Brad is absolutely right. When you get up in the morning in this area and you are fortunate enough to have a car in the driveway, you have a choice to make. Are you going to take the T or are you going to drive? And as driving costs go down and as fares for the T go up, considering all the disruptions of service that people have faced recently, you know that more and more people end up driving. So as a result, that has an impact, obviously, on traffic and congestion. It has an impact on the environment in terms of air quality, because every time somebody gets into the car and is a single, you know, it's a single occupancy vehicle, rather than ride a train that is already going in a certain direction or a bus, it has a negative impact on our regional air quality and on climate change. So it is very important to price the T correctly, and we do have to consider that gas prices currently, a gallon of gas is lower than standard fare on the T. This is before the fare increase.
Mm-hmm. So how do you convince folks, especially lawmakers, to put up the money to try to do some of these repairs, not only because it is so cheap to drive right now, but also because of the reputation of spending on the part of the MBTA?
Well, the legislature did in 2013 provide the T with additional resources. In this fiscal year, the T was supposed to get $202 million. The governor only accepted $187. That's only a difference of $15 million. But next year, the number was supposed to be $261 million, and the governor's budget only includes $187 million. That's a difference of $74 million. And the number goes up. In FY18, the legislature was willing to put in $357 million. If the governor, again, accepts only $187 million, you can see it will make a real difference in terms of what the T can do.
Mm-hmm. You know, we did hear from Brian Shortsleeve, the T's chief administrator, that said that the T's deficit for the current fiscal year is down, has been cut by $75 million. How did that happen?
Well, I think one of the ways it happened is the stuff that we're talking about today, that the overtime costs are down, that the absenteeism is down. You know, in the past, there was essentially no processes in place to address these issues, and now there are, and I think they're very quickly starting to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. Raphael?
Yeah, we also have another impact. We had a historic winter last year, and we're doing much better this year, and some of the projections were based on the past, but it is great to see that some of these cost reduction measures are taking hold. I mean, some were just really asking, you know, do you really need those materials? Do you really need to fill these vacant positions? Not that there aren't many vacant positions that need to be filled, and the T is working hard on filling positions for drivers, for example, but some vacant positions didn't need to be filled. And so when you do all that math, it adds up, and it's great to see.
I want to take another call. Joan is calling from Brighton. Joan, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello, panel. I just wanted to make a comment about what Steve said many long calls ago, and that is that Boston is a tourist city. We spend a lot of money attracting people. When people come from Logan Airport, they come to Government Center, they come to Park Street, they come to all of the stations that should be made up and welcoming for them.
Mm-hmm. Steve was saying that there was too much money being spent on the Government Center station and things like that, you're saying, no, the city needs tourist dollars, and those help with tourist dollars. Those stations help with tourist dollars. Is that right? Is that what you're saying, Joan?
Yes, and I do believe that that's true. And the other thing is they've been putting in places for shelter along the different lines that are outside, and that's just been wonderful. Mm-hmm. Used to be you stood in the rain.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Charlie Chipio, I want to ask you about that. Do we know about how tourism may or may not be affected by public transit?
You know, I think that there is certainly some effect. I think that a lot of people who come as tourists probably don't necessarily ride the T. I wish more did. But I don't think anybody is arguing that, these stations should be unattractive or that there shouldn't be the kind of shelters that protect people from the elements and those kind of things. It's just, I guess the argument I would make is sort of the example of this Green Line extension, you know, that you have something that has doubled in price over a year and a half or so. And part of that, certainly not all of it, was because we made it probably a little bit richer than it needed to be. And the reality is that when a system is facing the kind of basic, almost existential challenges that the T is facing, we're really not in a position to kind of spend more money than we need to on those kind of things.
Hmm. You know, there was also an advisory meeting at the State House today for a rail line that would connect North and South stations. Now, it seems that it's unlikely that this is maybe not a good time to consider a massive project, particularly when you talk about the Green Line extension and what happened with that. I mean, is this the time to do this?
Well, look, what I've written about that in the past is to say that, on a certain level, would it be nice to have? Yeah. But in the context of where the T is today, I don't think that would make the top 100 priorities for me in terms of fixing it.
Mm. Rafael Mars, we have about a minute left here. Closing thoughts on the meeting today and where we go from here. And is the fare hike proposal still going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the fare hike proposal is going forward. What I'm hoping where it will end up ultimately is where it should be. It should be predictable, planned, modest fare increases of not more than 5% every other year. This is a policy that the legislature tried to put in place in 2013. Unfortunately, there's a word that snuck in there that makes it seem like that number can be higher. And unfortunately, this administration has tried to get around that. I'm really hoping that we can go back to that. That allows the T to plan its budget, and it allows riders and businesses who pay for their employees' T passes to plan their budgets. And that's where we should go.
All right. Rafael Maras, senior attorney at the Conservation Law Foundation. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Charles Chippy is a research fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School. And he's head of Chippio Strategies, which is a public policy writing and advocacy firm. Thanks for being with us, Charlie.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, we're checking in on the Governors Association Conference in Washington, D.C. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.